We'll give a shout out this morning to New York. Crystal, oh my goodness. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're hearing wonderful praise reports about what's happening with your pastor, Pastor Maria there. God is good. God is good. God is good. Shout out this morning to Howard Naguari in Malawi. Howard got your message, man. It's so exciting that you're joining us on the VFN radio program, man. We're praying for you, man. That church plant's going to be awesome. If you're driving to work this morning, I want to tell you, you are blessed. Millions of Americans and actually citizens of the world today don't have work, but God has blessed you with a job. Show up with a smile on your face, gratitude in your heart, and work like you never did before, because God is going to bless the work of your hands. I do want to say to those that are believing God for a job that we're praying for you this morning, realize that God will provide. He will provide. He opens doors that no man can close, and he closes doors that no man can open. Realize that God wants to bless you. His plans are good towards you. He plans to bless you, give you hope, give you a future. Begin to believe him. He'll step over a million people to get with one person who will believe him. Believe today. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I am excited about coming to you Monday morning. Oh, my goodness. Mondays are just, they're Mondays.
And they're wonderful. Yeah,
they are. They're totally wonderful. I'm going to give a shout out to my daughter, Amber. Today's her birthday. I love her so much.
You know, happy birthday, Amber.
Got a chance to see her and hold her and love her and kiss her and all those wonderful things. And she's just an awesome daughter and just blessed. And I just want to wish you a happy birthday this morning, baby. Today, you know, God's laid so much on my heart, but, you know, the first thing I'm going to talk to you about this morning is there's an earthquake this weekend. That's yesterday. There was an earthquake, I believe it was in Italy, and it was just a tragedy that was, it was amazing. You know, just suddenly these things actually, you know, just come upon us. You know, we know that from being on the Gulf Coast. We've seen quite a few things that was like that, but there's earthquakes and tremors and in Italy and in Milan. And it was yesterday, a 5.1 magnitude hit them, and many people are homeless right now. Our blog is not up this morning, but if we had our blog up this morning, we'd actually put the pictures on there, but you actually can actually search for it. And just your just heart goes out to them. There's about 1,800 homeless people that lost their homes, their businesses crumbled, and it's just really, really sad. To see such loss. And, you know, God can restore. I love this businessman that said, you know, I've been here before. This has happened before. And he makes valves for...
take control.
He takes valves for, like, mechanical hearts. And he makes valves for mechanical hearts. And in that, I guess the valve goes inside the actual mechanical type heart. And so he lost his whole business over there. And I'm thinking about, you know, with that, you know, man, this man had hope. He says, I've rebuilt before from the ground zero, and he didn't give up. And the first thing I thought about was, oh, my goodness, all those people that are going to need that heart, you know, for a valve. I don't know if it's a grown heart. I don't know what it is. It's mechanical. I thought about, Pat, the valves that you made. The valves that you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but Pat makes valves. Or he made valves.
Used to
make valves, and but not heart valves.
Right.
But I actually thought about. I think, oh, they're probably making that thing that Pat used to make in his plastic fabrication company, as a master fabricator. And I don't know. It could have been, you know, human. I don't even know. But anyway, he just had this hope. You know, in all that rubble, his business was just destroyed. It was just, you know, it looked like just Italian ruins from. you know, the early 1700th century or something. It was so bad. And he had hope, you know, and we got to keep hope. There's something about, you know, that even when things go bad, you know, some people are worried about, yeah, I'm going to lose my job. 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 But you know what? You know, if you lose that one, you can get another one.
That's right.
Right? All right.
Amen to that. I can attest to that one.
You know, it's like sometimes it's like just let's end it and get it over with so we can begin the next thing, and you know, lingering this thing out. But, you know, we just want to pray this morning, you know, for those that are suffering in Milan for the earthquake. And Father God, we just ask you this morning that you would comfort those who lost their homes, that lost their businesses, that lost family members, those that have been injured. Father God, that you would comfort them and that aid would come and provision would come. And we're just, you told us that earthquakes will increase and storms would come and crisis would hit. And you said that, which means there's a lot of pain. But Father God, you said that we were to look up because our redemption draws near. And the biggest thing, Lord, you told us we don't know the hour of the day that we're going to go to be with you, and we look forward to that day. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, if you know a family member who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then it's important for you to introduce them, because if you don't introduce them and suddenly a disaster was to hit, you know, then they wouldn't be with Jesus, you know. And Father God, we just pray for everyone in Milan, Father, that that presently doesn't know you, that they would be saved when your kingdom would come. And I just pray for the listeners this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You can meet him. You've got to meet him. Well, today, of course, is the time that we talk about the word, the challenge of the day. And the challenge that we're going to have today, you know, and I'm sure you've been thinking about wonderful things since last we talked. On Monday, we had a challenge about, you know, thinking on good things, good reports. Even though all these things happen and things are happening in society that are sad in our hearts, that we can just trust God that he's going to work everything for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So this morning, the challenge this morning for today is for us to be able to put our hope in God, our trust in him, to be able to fear the Lord and put our, as a matter of fact, I'm going to look at, if you're looking, I'm going to read from Psalms 33:17 through 19. He says, a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. You know, you think about, he's talking about one horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, today we actually, you know, back, you know, the days of, you know, horse and carriages and just the riding a horse for transportation, that one horse was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And if you really wanted to do some serious work, you'd take two horses and you would tie them together. You know, but if you really wanted to do business, you would take a whole line of horses and tie them together like sled dogs, and mm-hmm. you would just right take off.
Right.
Well, he's talking about one horsepower, because if you had two horses pulling your carriage, what would that be? Two horsepower. And if you had three horses pulling your carriage, you would have a three horsepower carriage, which is like a lawnmower for us today, right?
Yeah.
Or one and a half horse.
I think mine's five horse.
Oh, well, of course. Of course.
No, I don't know what it is, actually. You know,
touch the spark plug. I think it lets you know what it is.
All right.
So listen. So the average car, the motor in the car, has how much horsepower in it?
The average? Maybe 200.
Think about that. That's like 200 horses pulling you down the interstate. Is that huge?
Yeah.
That's just huge. 200 horses in front of your, you know, for your, you know, your Mercedes, but me and my Volkswagen. I'm joking. And so think about it. So, that's amazing accomplishment, 200 horsepower. Mm-hmm. I know some of you out there got 300 and, you know, what's under your hood? I don't know. Let's take a look and find out. That's,
yeah,
that's
right.
Me.
I think it's an engine.
What is that? Oh, my goodness. They go, that's the battery. No. But, you know, to every motor, there's a positive thing to it and there's a negative thing to it. It's both sides of the battery. Anyway, so he says a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Well, think about it. 200 horses. We have 200. What he's saying is, you know, we can build all the things up on our natural strength. We can rely on our money and our finances and our nation and our military and our wisdom and our intelligence. You know, good thing that we don't have to worry about that field, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some things, you know, you don't have to worry about. And so then he says you can't. He says it's a vain hope, which means it's you're not going to get delivered because you're so smart. As a matter of fact, dealing with God, there's nothing more interesting than to watch somebody that's so smart try to figure him out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you really? I mean, are you really? Think about this. Are you really trying to figure out the creator of the universe that not only created you in your finite mind? I know you don't understand that. And you can't even figure out calculus. I mean, you have a tutor at your college or your school trying to figure out calculus, you know, and you're trying, you can't even balance your checkbook. You know what I'm saying? Can't live in a budget. And all of a sudden, you're trying to figure God out. This is God. He's way outside of us. He is awesome. There's none like him. He created everything you see, and he holds everything you see together. I mean, he's just, you know, he's God. And so what we do is how silly is that for us to depend on our own strength, you know? And when we start depending on our own strength, you'll notice God will start removing those things that you're depending on. You can see a few of those things happening in America right now, right? It's like, oh, please, we're going to lose our horses. Let's don't do that. Just don't depend on your horse, but keep your horse. So he says in verse 17, he says, a horse is a vain hope of deliverance. Despite all of its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Are on those who fear him and on those who hopes in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and to keep them from famine. Think about that. Think about that. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. And it's not the kind of fear like I'm scared of God, but you know, you can have a reverential fear of God. And this is how you know, if you want to be able to try to live the life that you desire to live, you know, close to God and not be in a worldly mindset and that, just understand the consequences of a holy God when you're making those decisions. And when you do, you're thinking about that, then you say, well, I'm not going to make this decision because, first of all, I love him and I don't want to hurt him. And if I do, he'll forgive me. I know that, but the fact of that is, too, he loves me so much, he'll discipline me. You know what I'm saying? He'll allow things to consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. And I remember going through some real tough times, and somebody asked me, how are you doing? I said, I never felt more like a son in all my life. You know, and you know, so God wouldn't treat his sons that way. Well, you know, Jesus is his son. You know, obviously he wasn't suffering discipline. He was suffering our discipline. You know what we did. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, but the eyes of the Lord on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. You know, the enemy just so tries to destroy our thought life in the context of that God loves you. God, I mean, he's just in love with you. Isn't that amazing? That's a shocker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Big shocker.
He's in love with you. God loves you and's got a plan for your life. You know, think about it. And so, and you got to trust in his love. Well, how can you trust in the love that the enemy tries to take that perception from you that it doesn't exist? And the thing about it is, you got to say, no, it actually exists. Hope actually exists. The Lord is my hope. And so that's what exactly today I want to encourage you that. You know, fear the Lord. Understand that he loves you and that, you know, he's a holy God, you know, and those that want to see him, you know, have to live that kind of life separate from the world. But understand this, that he will empower you to do that. But also understand this, that you can trust in his unfailing love. Think about it. Everything I've ever known in regards to creation, at some point it fails. I mean, no matter how big the government, not how big the ministry. I mean, it all ends at some point, you know? I mean, we only last for a short period of time. Life's but a vapor, right? Yeah. And so, but God never does, and his love never fails. And so we can trust in his unfailing love. And if we'll do these two things, and this is my challenge to you, You know, today is to begin to meditate on the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and the love God has for you. And just begin to ask. It's okay to just say, you know, Lord, I don't get it. You know, I need help. You know, I would love to be able to figure out, give me a revelation of your love for me. You know, take my heart, the reins of my heart, and direct it into the vast ocean of your love. That love would, reveal your love in such a way to me, about me, that you love me, that would overflow in my love back to you and to others. And just ask them. Ask God to be able to show you that. And trust in that love. Trust in the, understand if you fear the Lord, his eyes on you. If you don't fear the Lord, you better thank God his eyes not on you.
I know that's right.
You know, to Moses, he's like, okay, I'm going to leave. And I'm going to send an angel here to watch over you guys in the wilderness. Because if I hang around here...
You're dead.
Right? Moses, we'll start over again. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it just, you know, thank you, Lord, for giving us a moment to get our act together. And you're so merciful. And just trust and focus on the fear of the Lord and his unfailing love today. You know, Lord, I want to have a fear of the Lord. Strike my heart with the lightning that from your throne room that strikes my heart with the fear of the Lord, that I would have no issues. And I would totally understand that it's healthy to have a reverential fear and awe of you. At the same time, your awesomeness, your heart's filled with love for me. I'm just like, wow, what a dynamic. So my challenge today is to focus on the fear of the Lord and his unfailing love. The fear of the Lord and his unfailing love. That's Psalms 33:17-19. I'll be right back. We're right back. It looks like the message is going to be up in just a moment. Also, we're going to talk to you about the news this morning. I can't believe that this particular young lady had come by my home, you know, several times, and she, you know, selling candy and different things like that, and. It was always buy the candy. I'd buy the peanuts or the flowery calendars and stuff like that. And the reason why I would, you can ask my children. I mean, I've raised them to be business people, to be able to make a living, and that's one thing that my children can do is make a living. And they were working it. I mean, they were always out in the neighbors. Can I cut your grass? Can I paint your house, can I take your trash out, you know, and they just kind of helped everybody knew our neighbors, and they're so graceful to us and our kids. And just, I meant, they always walked around with cash in their pockets, but they worked for it, and God bless the work of their hands. And, but so I got tired of buying the candy. And stuff like that, you know, because, you know, trying to watch my figure. But I didn't want to tell her no. And for all those that are thinking, coming by my home to sell me something, please don't. Anyway, so they were selling magazine subscriptions. And so I thought, well, that's cool. Let me look at the magazines. And I'm like, oh, nope. No. You know, and then I saw Time Magazine. I mean, how innocent is Time Magazine in the context? Well, we know. Anyway, how innocent? Same thing. I can get that. You know, get the Time Magazine.
Right, right.
And so I got the Time Magazine, and about 7 years later, it started being delivered. You know, she went about her business, and she raised her money or whatever. And like every single week, they delivered me a magazine. I mean, it just never ends. They sent me notices saying, if you don't renew your subscription, we're going to cancel them. Like, please cancel my subscription. My goodness, you know, why are you continuing to send me? Because it's like negative news. It's like, oh my goodness, it's like the front covers of their magazine. It's almost like they nail what people's hearts are in the nation at that time. And you know, I have to turn them over in my office, so I'm not looking at them all the time. But this particular one that just came out, I mean, the front cover is all red, and it says "How to Die." You know, prophetically, what we're hearing, you know, it's just like, oh my goodness, come on. I mean, every single thing, you know, how to die, mm-hmm. You know, and God is really, I mean, you think about it, you remember those old movies that when maybe not, but the old movies, you know, the black and white movies, when somebody would be shot and they would take forever to die. It's like, mm-hmm. die already, right?
Right.
And it's like, how to die? Oh my goodness. And of course, it's what I learned about the last days of my mom and dad is what it's about. But the thing is, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, that as believers, we got to learn to die to ourselves. You know, we got to just learn. You know, so many people, and I say this quite often, but I just see it. I met so many people, you know, try so hard to live and never do. Mm-hmm. It's like they're so scared of death. And it's like, you know, first of all, if you're a believer, to die is gain. And to live is Christ. That you know, Paul was talking about, I'm caught between two mindsets. One is I want to be with God in heaven forever. And the other is I want to be here working for him. But if I'm not there, I'm going to be advancing his kingdom here. And so, you know, that's where we need to be. And if we're not there, we need to ask God to move us in that place, because this life is temporary. You know, Paul says, if this is all we have is this life, you know, we should be pitied more than anyone else, because we're living for what's to come and we are bringing God glory. This is like premarital counseling. You know what I'm saying? We're learning how to be a good, loyal, faithful bride, that when we take on the bridegroom, that's the analogy he uses for us, is that we're the bride of Christ and he's the bridegroom. And we're going in Revelation, as he talks about it, to the banquet. And, you know, and this is our chance to really shine and bring him glory. And, you know, take on his name. And so he gives us a new name. And it's just such a challenge, it seems, you know, to just, as believers, you know, just to die to self. You know, you think about it, it's a lot like those old movies, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's been 30 days, you're still living, you know? You're still talking about that, you're still stuck in that, you know? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, and I like what Rick Joyner had said with Morningstar Ministries. He said, there's two of the most powerful beings in the universe trying to kill you. One is Satan, who wants to kill you and separate you from God forever. And the other is God wants you to die to yourself, right?
Right.
And then when you do that, he will actually save your enemies, and then you live with them forever with him.
Right, you
know?
Right.
And it's a battle between, you know, which one are you going to allow, which one are you going to surrender your life to? And of course, we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. And he says, you know, that we have to deny ourselves, pick up a cross, and follow the Lord. And so praise the Lord. I just want to encourage you, despite what you're seeing on Time Magazine this morning, that if we're believers, we're already dead in Christ. We've already been buried with him. That's what water baptism is about. And we come back up and we live a life for him. We'll be right back in just a moment.
I really wish that everyone could.
But I want to remember. Remember when we were there at Israel, the time that we were praying over the borders,
mm-hmm.
and we're just asking God to protect Israel, and we're driving the whole, you know, loop around Israel, and you know, just you know, it was powerful, you mm-hmm. know, obviously, yeah. and we're seeing even some of the damaged buildings in the north from the, I guess, the 1967 situation mm-hmm. yeah. that happened up there.
Tanks in the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And remember the cab situation? I'll tell you something funny. This is funny. You know, when you get to, obviously you get to a different country, they're going to exchange your money, and they take your money and they give you their money back. And of course, it was so funny to watch Pat stand there at the exchange booth, and they took all of his cash and his money,
yeah.
and they filled his hands full of shekels. And
yeah.
I bet you should have seen the look on his face. The look on his face was,
oh,
I just know I got robbed. I just lost everything I had.
It's all gone.
I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow.
It's been real. Yesterday was a very real experience for me. I actually felt I felt him in my heart. My heart was pounding. And I had tears coming down my eyes. It was just, I can't even describe it. It just felt so right. You know, I put my hand up and it was like he put my hand up. And it's like, wow, this is great. I see Vine Fellowship in Brooklyn, Manhattan, the Bronx, everywhere, anywhere, in the park, Central Park, have a picnic, you know?
You know, when there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes. Isn't that the political correct answer? Another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that he's the lover of your soul and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom and we're the bride and this intimacy and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse. And we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
that's
what I'm right. saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you ask a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, 2 chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's an right. inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
when you think about it, I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's living. Word that it comes with the author and
sure.
that God explains it to you and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this and the enemy's kind of complicated it. You know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org, you know, read over a little bit. And if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, 8-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you, you continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Mm.
And quite often is if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him and you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying. And the definition of abide, everything you need is there. iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org. That's such a wonderful plan, you know, that abiding plan. It's just so simple. And, you know, I was abiding with the Lord this morning, and hopefully I get a chance to share with you in the second hour. We're coming into the second part of the first hour. And in the extra hour today, I'm hoping to share with you about, you know, what the Lord has just been speaking to me about. And I know that a lot of you out there that are listening today are abiding with God, and God's speaking to you as well. But first, I want to give a shout out to the VFN prayer and fasting community today. I know you are praying for 24 hours today on your 3-hour watches. I want to encourage you that your prayers are being heard. For those that are listeners, that, you know, you're going to be able to post your prayer request and let us know, and as we progress in the VFN radio program, and to know that somebody's standing for you. We have been praying for you for quite some time, and in different areas, but praying specifically for you as well. But you can find out more about that at vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Well, you know, the due space, you know, is important for those that are connected with the due space. I want to encourage you to take your time, you know, and remember Psalms 133, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. I think Steve will be here coming. Steve Kaliseski will be joining us tomorrow, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And remind me to ask him, you know, to share about his revelation about the gushing 10 million
gallons.
You know, his blessing coming down. And it's so cool that, you know, how unity is so important. It's so pleasurable to God that it's the place of the commanded blessing. And so, you know, I want to remind you to swing into the dew and, you know, pray for those needs and see what's happening in everybody's life. Got some wonderful, wonderful pictures that have come up in the last weekend. And it's just really cool to be able to see that as well. We should have our Facebook up soon. I believe we're working on it right now. I think, as a matter of fact, you might be able to friend us now. You can go to facebook.com/VFNTV.
That's right.
That's facebook.com/VFN. Like a V as in Victor, right?
Right.
VFN TV. And like us, right? Is that what you click like?
Right.
Well, I hope you like us already, but they got a like. Is that brilliant? A marketing plan like that? You know, click this button if you don't feel you're cheap. Click. You know, and think about it. So if you could do that, we would be connected. We're going to be able to highlights that happen throughout the day, you know, and happen throughout the week. And we're going to be able to make that available to you. We have those that are working in our social media area that's going to be able to help you with that. We want to say hello to all of our Facebook friends and Twitter friends. You tweet,
right?
But you're actually twitting. Okay, you're twitting. And I'm following the Blue Wahoos, you know, in Pensacola now. They actually have a place you can follow them, and there's like a lot of news. Shooter's been really working hard. He's done an excellent job of just bringing that to Pensacola, and he's just held out, and I don't know. I went to his games, and when it was the Pelicans, and he was just so friendly, man. I mean, you got more welcome there than you did at some other things that we're familiar with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And she's doing a wonderful job. The Blue Wahoos is like a double A.
Yeah, they're a step up from the Pelicans, I believe.
Oh yeah, yes, and they are you know, a double A team, and we hear like great reports. We've been to the stadium. We hadn't got a chance to go see the game, so hopefully I'll be able to tweet, right?
Right.
Tweet that way. I do.
Sounds right.
Or throw it up on my Facebook. But they're teaching me how all this stuff works. And I just look forward to just chatting with you and all that stuff that's going on. It's amazing what's taking place out there. With that in mind, I know we mentioned last week that, you know, kind of got a brain freeze about, you know, where you can go to get a voter's guide. You know, a voter's guide has all the candidates, no matter what party they are, and it asks them questions, and they all answer the questions. We hopefully honest, but I think they do because they're actually wanting the people who they believe they're running for to show them that they represent their values and all. And so, so it's basically value questions normally, and it just gives you an understanding. You know, we have a few, I don't know which state you are in now, but primaries, pay attention to primaries, because primaries, quite often many races are won in primaries, because if you only, that's when a political party narrows down to one particular candidate. For example, if there's like 15 Democrats running and 15 Republicans running, they're not going to run against each other as Democrat and Republican or independent in the primary. They're actually going to run against Democrat to Democrat, and they're going to run against Republican to Republican. And so they narrow it down to one Republican and one Democrat.
Right.
You know, a lot of people just say, well, I'll just show up at the main election. But they've already chosen your choices. I mean, if you don't, you think about this. You know, people, you know, like food, right? And it's like there's 50 menu items, and you can pick anything you want in the menu items. Mm-hmm. But you just say, you know what? That's a little, you know, I'll just show up after they narrow it down to okra, you know, or fried crusty eggs. You know what I'm saying? I'll just wait. That's my favorite, right? I can't think of something you don't like. What do you not like?
Wait, me?
Yeah. What's that? What do you? Nope.
I don't like pickles.
Oh, that's right. Well, nobody, our listeners can't relate to that. You know, I'm sure they like pickles. He really doesn't like pickles. But think about it. And so you say, well, I'm just going to let everybody who doesn't like my taste go to the restaurant first, and I want them to narrow my menu down to just pickles. I mean, this is Pat's analogy, because, you know, we all like pickles, you know, sometimes. And so think about it. And you would think, I'm not going to have somebody pick what I'm going to eat. I want to show up and I want to see the whole menu, right?
Right.
And so primaries are about seeing the whole menu, you know? And, you know, it's like some things on the menu make your mouth water. Oh, yeah. And some things on the menu make you barf. So you need to know, because if you wait for somebody else to pick what you're going to eat in the restaurant, you may spend 2, 6, 4 years, what? Barfing.
Yeah, right.
But it's your fault because you didn't go out to the primary. So I encourage you to, first of all, don't just run out, but just pray. Abide with God. Go to iabide.org and get with God. I think this is the most crucial time in America to be able to understand, where other countries have chosen their leaders through war and through fighting and all these different things that they have to do. And then when they get to the power, they actually, people just honor that power that came up. But in America, we don't do that. We actually go to the voting booth, because people gave their lives for us to be able to do this, and we get to pick anything on the menu we want, you know, anything we want. And so you would just go to the voting booth and pull that lever. Too many people, you know, have paid a price for this, and we can lose this. We can lose this right to vote. Secondly, before you pull the lever, abide for like 90 days. Yeah, and like I said, iabide.org. Just hang out with God, and first, just, you know, get your relationship really nice, and where you can hear good. And then while you're doing that, you know, look what's on the menu. Don't just look at their name. Don't look at their looks. Don't look at how articulate they are. Sometimes some of the most powerful people might be like Paul. You know, Paul wrote half of the New Testament, but he was always worried about how he presented things and how he looked. And you know, and I hope how I'm looking is not affecting the message right here. I hope, you know, and he talked about that.
Right.
You know, Moses was a stutterer. You know, can you imagine having and it's like, that's who the awesome friend of God is. And so what you want to find out is, what's their fruit? What fruit? Are you a praying man? Are you a praying woman? You know, and you make sure before you ask them that you're a praying man or a praying woman, you know. And you'll find out that if you'll do that, you know, you've done your best. You've done your best to find out God's heart here, to find out the heart of those that are running. Yeah, and people will lie to us. People will tell us. But God sees our intentions, and he'll reward our dependency on him and wanting to do it right, you know. And then pull that lever and just watch what happens. And I want to encourage you. So get involved in the primaries, you know, in your state, in your county, in your city, you know, and it's going to take effort, but it's worth the effort. If people, you know, we're going to talk about original intent, hopefully today in the extra hour, what George Washington and the troops went through, General Washington, and, you know, they fought barefoot. We're going to talk about all that. And they did all of this, and we can't say, you know, I can't pull myself away from my whatever to find out and meet these candidates. Listen, if they're running to be your leader, they owe you a conversation. Don't just take their website. They owe you a conversation. You are the one that are putting them in office in America. They're not allowing you to put them into office. You have to understand that's the position. There's a government by the people and for the people. And we're loaning them leadership for a time. And we need to be involved in the selection process. And God's going to hold us accountable for that because that's how the country's set up. And so we are the ones that actually make those decisions. So we shouldn't just make them in a way that's just uneducated and you know, and hang around people that, I mean, you should do it yourself. You don't depend on somebody else's opinion about it because you don't know. And you want God to see that you're actually investing in this. But also that you'll find out there are people that for whatever reason they couldn't get to that point to do what we're talking about, and they'll know you did, and they'll trust you. I mean, you know, 10 votes, 20 votes, or 100 votes would go the way that you feel God is leading you because they'll call you up and ask you, you know. And so be that person that is informed, you know. And so I mentioned voter guides last week, and I just couldn't think of the, you know, I thought about Christian Coalition, but Wall Builders, wallbuilders.org is a good place to go because I think they have all the voter guides there. It's wallbuilders.org. And with that, there's a lot of Founding Father moments there as well. But you can find the voter guides there for your state and for your county and your region. And by the way, you can do your own voter's guide as well. You can actually write out some questions and, you know, and ask value-based questions. Somebody says, well, I won't make those kind of decisions because I'm not a senator or No, it matters what their value system is, because if they won't honor God or they would actually, if they were a senator, this is how they would vote, it's letting you know how they actually make decisions. And so ask them those questions. Ask them national questions so you can find out internally what's inside their heart and find out where they stand. Because we're putting these, you know, school board over our students, you know, and we're putting commissioners and councilmen over our cities and counties. We're putting sheriffs over our laws, you know, in the land. We're putting governors over our state, and we're putting senators and representatives and presidents, you know, over our nation. So it's very, very important, you know, that we get involved in that. So that's wallbuilders.org, wallbuilders.org. You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house, and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And it's an exciting thing. The Vine Seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine Seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org.
This is like a very deep, deep experience that it is just alive to me. And I could never forget that God is in my heart.
Last night, it was last night, I actually felt this wonderful feeling. It's very warm, just like someone was hugging me. It felt great. And last night was very informative, very information, a lot of good information that everybody should listen to, everybody should know. And just after last night, I mean, I'd recommend everybody in the world to just at least test this out, see how it is.
Vine is proving that you don't have to leave where you are. God will meet you right where you are, in your living room, in your family room, in your backyard, in your pool, wherever. And I think that's a great concept that Vine's actually putting out there.
Well, you definitely feel the love with the Vine seminars. A lot of enlightenment. You see everyone come together, as they say, like a family. Feels like a family. Definitely family-oriented in every which way.
Well, there's nothing like a Vine seminar and being involved in what God is doing, you know, in the VFN family, but those testimonies are just so powerful to hear. You know, it was so encouraging to watch Tyler. We'll give a shout-out to Tyler, Joanne, up in upstate New York as we were up there, and you know, God was just blessing you, Tyler. That was just, it was, I just can't describe, I know it was awesome for you, but it was awesome for us, and to have this awesome encounter with the Lord, and to watch that actually take place, and how precious it was. And it was just, you know, of all the things, that was just a beautiful thing that I enjoyed being there with you guys in New York and Jersey, and, you know, watching God move like that. I want to encourage you to find out more at vineseminars.org, vineseminars.org. Also, I want to talk to you this morning about, well, actually, before I do that, I want to mention something to you. You know, I had an opportunity to I got blessed. Don and I got blessed. We got blessed with a cruise. We got a cruise that we went to Cozumel and you know, Mexico, and went to the beaches and all. And, you know, Pat introduced me. You introduced me to diving.
Yes.
And it's a very quiet sport. it's hard to talk when you're underwater. And oh my goodness, you remember we went to Massachusetts?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, so
almost didn't make it back.
I know. You remember that? You're right. Right. Oh my goodness. So anyway, so I'm in Mexico, and oh, it was a beautiful. Oh, I just can't, you know, right now there's difficult things happening in Mexico, and I just pray that it'll get better. But the beaches are like postcards, and, you know, outside of the guys with guns standing on them.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, we got there and got to, I believe it was maybe Cozumel. And, you know, they have all these guys, you know, they have normal ship events that you go to or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do that. We actually saw this guy with his beat up piece of cardboard and said, I got the better deal for you.
So, yeah, right.
And so I looked at Donna and I looked back and I'm saying, I want a better deal. And so, cause I didn't want to go commercially,
right.
You know? And so, I went and got stood with him. And I said, take a picture of us. I'm thinking this could be the last time you see me. Cause they said, don't ever go to the other side. And so, we go to this remote beach. He drives us in this beat up cab. Well, he takes us a beat up cab. I mean, it is amazing that it reminded me in the backseat of being in a police car, you know, being an officer, what right. The backseat looks like. And that you don't want to end up in the backseat of a police car, by the way.
No, you don't.
And so they're driving this and we're thinking, oh, you know, this could be it. We're like, you know, don't know where we're at, you know. And there's a lot of people who speak Spanish around there.
Imagine that.
Yeah, yo no hablo es español. And so then we get there. We said, we're almost here. You know, and the car's putting along, you know. and we're coming into the place, and it has two armed guards with guns at the front. It looks like we're going into some mafioso, you know, place. It looks like, you know, something like that's what it looked like. And then armed guards, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But I'm thinking, but this is so beautiful here.
I don't care.
You know, you're messing up the Garden of Eden with this stuff. And so then we get to the beach, and somehow some sailors found this place. I don't know how they found it, but they weren't doing well. They were having, you know, a worldly moment. And so so we're walking down this little dirt road. We're there now. We're behind the armed guards. I don't know if we're on some, you know, mafia's place, or we're just in a safe place. I don't know if we're safe or whatever. Anyway, but they have diving there, and you go out for a tank or two tanks or whatever. And so I looked at Donna and I said, you know, it's my wife. I said, you know, I want to do this. I want to dive. I want to do this thing. And of course, Donna's not going to dive. And so I'm thinking, do I leave my wife on the beach? She's such a trooper, man. And I was thinking, you could shop. And of course, when you go shop, they actually had shells, and their money was in like a cigar boxes. And it was just like I don't know, maybe the 1700s, 1800s, you know, type feeling, you know. And so then she said, yeah, go, you know, go ahead and go dive and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was some of those beautiful water. I mean, yeah. It was just gorgeous. I can't explain how. I was just overtaken with the beauty of the coral reefs, and my dive guide could have barely even, you know, he couldn't speak good English. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to die so bad. And so I went two tanks out there. It was like diving in a postcard, mm-hmm. and I see an octopus, and he was trying to take my hand at one time. We're underwater. And he grabbed my hand. He's trying to bring it to touch this rock thing. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm snatching my hand back. He brings my hand back over again. And finally, the whole rock moves. I'm like, it's an octopus. Oh, my goodness. You know, and just had a wonderful time. But what comes to mind, though, it was this other particular good deal outside the normal traditional type events that happen on cruises is they're diving with a stingrays. Where you go out and dive with the stingrays. And I thought, well, that'll be cool. I'm gonna like that, you know? And so I wanna do that. And we got on this other cardboard sign thing, you know, we're going with out there. And Donna's actually going with me this time.
Oh, wow.
Donna's going with me to this. And we get out there on this boat in the middle of I don't know where. It's beautiful water. Nobody had guns, but, you know, we're in the ocean, mm-hmm. or the Gulf. Mm-hmm. We're in the Gulf. And so he says, okay, I want everybody to get in the water. And he gave us, it was so clear. You could see, it just seems like you could see just for miles in the water, underwater. And it was just white sand. And it was, oh my goodness, you know. And so then he gives us squid. You know, squid is a nasty,
all right,
you know, slimy.
It's dead squid.
Dead squid, yeah. It wasn't like calamari on your plate that was fried for ketchup.
So he hands you bait.
Yeah, exactly. And so
in the ocean.
Well, hold on, we get there. And so then, I get in the water, and he says, "Whatever you do, the stingrays will come up to you." And he just said, "The stingrays." So I'm thinking, "Oh wow, two or three stingrays are come up, and they'll start trying to suck on your leg and do different things like that." And you're going to want to kick them. Don't kick them because they have the stinger on the back. So. I get in the water, and the water's probably about up to my shoulders, I guess, maybe a little bit lower on my shoulders. And all of a sudden, this nice, clear, white sand beach is underwater, you know, talking about the sand underwater. It just, these big, huge black spots are coming my way. They're huge, man. And they're coming from all directions. And here I am standing in the midst of Lord knows what this is, oh with two gosh. Big hands of dripping squid.
Oh, my goodness.
It comes up and it sucks on my leg. One of them does. It's like trying to climb up your leg, like literally just trying to suck its way up your leg. And that just doesn't register right in your brain, by the way. Women are screaming, oh, my God. And he says, don't move. And I'm like,
right.
And I'm squeezing the squid because I'm nervous, and it's dripping squid juice down, getting them all excited. And so, he says, don't kick them. And I mean, it's just the first thing you do when some big things coming under the water with, you don't know what it is, it's sucking on your leg, you're going to kick it away, right?
Right.
And so I kicked the stew out of that thing, and it came back. It didn't sting me, thank God. And being a Cozumel hospital somewhere. And so then I started, feeding. They would actually eat the squid.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Out of your hand.
Out of your hand. You just feed them. It's just like this one guy that took us. He had like maybe two or three teeth. I don't know, four teeth maybe. I don't know. And he picked one up and kissed it. It literally leaned it up. And he sat there and kissed the lips. I didn't know. It looked like lips to me. I'm talking about the stingray in my home. So, and then he kissed it. And so, and then all of a sudden they all go away. And we think, wow, what was that? And so I'm starting to swim around under the water now. And I have, some squid in my hand. Actually, I grabbed some more squid. And I'm swimming around in the Gulf, fixing to find another one, and it just dawns on me. I'm a human fishing pole. I am like a fishing pole, and my hand is like a hook, and it's baited with a whole bunch of squid. And it's not only stingrays out here, you have sharks out here. And I'm swimming like a swimming fishing pole, waiting for a shark to come bite my hand off and eat me. I'm thinking, how stupid is this? This is stupid. And I throw it didn't dawn on me till it dawned on me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I throw that thing out of my hand. I'm like rubbing my hands in the water, trying to clean the bait off my hands, And it's like I didn't have a revelation that I was actually a living fishing pole, that my hand was baited like a hook, but once I got the revelation, I dropped what I was doing and I didn't do it anymore.
Right.
And that's what happens with us. Sometimes we live life like a human fishing pole and we're doing stuff in our life that makes us like bait and we didn't know no better. But all of a sudden it just dawns on you. This is stupid. Why? Because God reveals it to you that that's wrong, And so then you just stop. You find out, until you knew it was sin, you didn't know it was sin, right? And then once you know it's sin, God reveals that to you. Like Jesus said to Peter, he says, flesh and blood does not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven did. And so God will reveal things to you. So one day, be okay with like one day swimming with the stingrays, and that's a legitimate thing to happen in your life. But another day, God showed you, that's kind of stupid. You don't want to do that anymore, And that's called repentance. And until you knew about it, you didn't know to repent. But once God tells you, once God shows you, and shows you what it's about, then you can repent. Then you can say, God, I understand now. I totally understand what you're talking about. Forgive me for that and begin to live your life. Don't be a human fishing pole and don't beat your hand. Well, we enjoy the first hour with you. We'll be going into the second hour in just a moment.